Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com.
And I'm Michael Swain of Fog.net.
This is a replay of WIBW show The Drive.
Here's this week's episode on the 24/7 Sports Podcast Network.
Good evening, Wildcat and Jayhawk fans, and welcome to The Drive, sponsored by Briggs Auto Group. I am Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. The man across the studio from me is Michael Swain of Fog.net. Okay, he's in. K-State's not. As we start recording, we don't even know where K-State's going, if they're going to the NIT.
Fitz, it's like a Christmas morning for college basketball fans. Oh. I've got the bracket right here. I'll be excited to get my pen out a little bit later and fill this puppy out, and I'll like my picks on this show, Fitz. I'll get a lot wrong.
We're going to do picks later in the show, and I'm going to tell you, we're going to pick probably high seeds. I think this bracket is going to be utter and complete chaos this year. I think we're going to have a total meltdown of everything we know about college basketball.
Ooh, and then at the end it'll be Houston versus UConn.
That's exactly what I think. You can interact with us on social media at facebook.com/thedriveshow, on Twitter at thedrive13, and of course answer our weekly poll question and make your game predictions on our Twitter page. Remember, if you ever miss an episode of The Drive, you can listen to an audio-only version that appears each Monday morning in the form of a podcast at GoPowerCat.com. And fog.net. And we start things off with our 2-minute drill. The first segment of the 2-minute drill is sponsored by Vanderbilt's Your Work Boot Center. Well, Kansas is a number 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. The Jayhawks are headed to Salt Lake City, where they will take on Samford. Michael, what do KU fans need to know heading into this first round game? Whoops, there goes the three-pointer.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Fitz. KU is going to have a little pod of three-point shooting teams, and it starts off with Samford, which have been incredible this year. You look at their three-point percentage. They shoot 39% on threes. That's number 8 in the country. 40% of their shots come from behind the arc. In terms of the effective field goal percentage with Fitz, it explains basically how efficient you are offensively. They're number 7 nationally. So this is a Samford team that, in terms of the skill set, they're going to chuck. They have a very short offensive possession length, and so they basically go up and down the floor and put up three-pointers. But then when they do shoot twos, Fitz, as well, they're pretty efficient, 55% from inside the arc. And keep in mind, this is a team that has dominated the SoCon. They've won the conference title 2 years in the last 3, and then this year won the conference tournament. So this is a team that is used to winning. It has had a lot of success. And then you look at their record this season, you know, 2 of their tougher games came earlier in the season against Purdue and VCU. Those were 2 losses. And really in the time since when they played their level of competition, they've really dominated. So for KU, I think a lot of this game is going to come down to how can Kansas guard the three-point line? We've seen it at times this year. You look at a game like BYU where KU does such a great job in the first half, but then the second half they fall apart. This has to be a complete performance from KU defensively, because as we've seen this season, KU is not going to shoot a lot of threes. And if all of a sudden we're looking at a game here where Samford, say, go on in the first half and make 9 threes, that's really hard to match. And if they make 14 or 15 in the game, that's really hard to match for KU, because they're not going to shoot that many threes. So for KU, this is going to come down to defense. How well can KU athletically move Samford off their shots? And I think we've seen this at times in the past. I think back to 2019, the last time KU was in Salt Lake City, they played a Northeastern team that shot the three really well. KU's athletic ability kept them from getting hot from three. KU needs a very similar thing to happen in the first round on Thursday night.
Real quick, any injury updates?
We'll get to them in a little bit later, Fitz, but I think Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson trending in the right direction right now, which is big for KU.
It'll be interesting to see if they're ready to go. And also, is Dickinson a good matchup for a team that runs up and down the court and shoots three-pointers? Maybe he gets a day of rest.
Yeah, exactly. Should be interesting to see. Well, the K-State women were seeking a top four seed in a region so it could host the first and second round games. The Wildcats ended up as a four seed and will be facing Portland. So Fitz, give us your thoughts on this matchup.
Well, I'm really happy for Jeff Mitty and his players, and also the K-State fans who have shown up in such huge numbers at Bramlage Coliseum this year. The little spell they went through without Aoka Lee, and even after she came back and were reacclimating, put them kind of on the bubble, so to speak, to host, because the first two rounds in the women's brackets are on home courts. Interestingly enough, the regional sites now, there's just two of them. So actually, two brackets go per region. It's kind of a weird thing. But they do get to host, and it's very significant for the program, for the crowd. And also, it's kind of cool because their fifth seed put into their bracket is Colorado, a future and former Big 12 foe. And I actually saw Colorado play this season out in Las Vegas prior to K-State playing USC on the men's side. This is a great matchup. This is going to be really entertaining basketball. But the women now have to kick it in gear. They haven't been playing like a four seed. They've gone from playing like a two seed earlier in the year to playing like maybe an eight seed. And they really have to turn it up now. Very interesting to me, though, is they put them in the same bracket as Iowa. So if K-State does advance to play the one, they catch Iowa for the third time this season if Iowa makes it through. And with Caitlin Clark, we would expect them to get to the third round. Very intriguing all the way around for the K-State women. Let's hope Aoka Lee is, you know, had some extra time here to rest, and that she will be in really good form for the tournament. Because when she's healthy and they're in sync, this team was Final Four worthy early in the year. They haven't looked that way lately, but now they get to reinvent themselves, because in the postseason, it's a whole new run. You get six games and you can be a national champion. The women's side has been pretty dominated by the high seeds, but last year we saw LSU as a three win the tournament. So there is always hope that the women's game will kind of open up in the same way men's have for some of these lower seeds. K-State plays Portland.
Fitz, I'm not a fan of this whole, the way they slotted that with K-State. Like, if they play Iowa, that should be like a Final Four game or right. A national championship game. Like, that's just really weird to think that they could play them a third time this year. I can't imagine that happening on the men's side of the bracket. So yeah. I'm very confused why that was able to happen on the women's side.
I agree. I was shocked. I think they ran into a problem, though. I mean, the last four seed has to be with the top seed, which would be South Carolina. So K-State wasn't even the last four seed. And if they were going to avoid that, then who were they going to go with? And they just ended up with Iowa.
Yeah,
very interesting.
Tough.
The Big 12 got eight teams in the NCAA tournament, not nine like we suspected. Iowa State missed out on a number one seed, and Oklahoma missed out on the tournament, probably rightfully so. Michael, did the Big 12 get screwed?
Not by the selection committee. They got screwed by five teams stealing bids over the last 48 hours, Fitz. You know, you look at it, and there are several teams that were not going to make the NCAA tournament that went on to win their conference championship tournament. And so as a result, those people steal the bids. And so Oklahoma, for example, misses out. But Fitz, I do have a bone to pick with this one.
Okay.
Look, Virginia should not be in the NCAA tournament. You look at all the advanced numbers, right? And here's where I get a little confused, Fitz. So non-conference play, right? Oklahoma was great, right? They were top 10 going into conference play because of how good they played in non-conference. And then Oklahoma plays in the best conference in college basketball. They won some games, they lost some games, whatever. Virginia, on the other hand, has a very kind of similar schedule, but they really struggled in conference play and had some really ugly games in there too. So you're looking at this team, and the advanced numbers point to Oklahoma. I think the resume points to Oklahoma, but Virginia's playing it. And then Iowa State, look, I think probably they should have been a one seed, but then you got to also look at their non-conference strength of schedule, which is terrible. They just continue to schedule nobodies and expect that to help them in the NCAA tournament. And then you got teams, you know, like KU that do schedule really hard opponents. They lose some games, but they get that strength to schedule up. So overall, I think it's pretty fair. I think the Big 12 just got a little bit unlucky with some of those bid stealers.
What I don't get is UConn is clearly one of the top two teams in the bracket, along with Houston. Those are the top two. I think we all agree on that. And yet Iowa State gets stuck with UConn. So that tells me they weren't close to being the fourth number one. North Carolina kind of had that locked down. Did the committee not see what Iowa State did to an incredibly talented Houston team, so good that they made him a number one seed? They not see what happened? They beat them by 28 points, Michael. I think Iowa State belonged on the one line. I just do, but that's the way it is. You're probably right. Their non-conference schedule held them back, but in their defense, I don't think anyone expected them to be this good.
Totally, and I think too, like, you win the game you play. And I think Iowa State has shown when they play really good teams, they're really good. So does it matter that they didn't play the best teams? But then there are other teams like KU that might say, hey, well, we played a bunch of really good teams, lost some games, but it is what it is. So I think the whole dynamic of scheduling right now in college basketball, kind of broken.
I agree. Now a quick look at your poll question results. The poll questions are brought to you by Midland Exteriors. Love the home you live in. Call today for a free estimate.
All right, last week's question was, which side of the Big 12 bracket will win?
I couldn't decide.
Houston and Texas Tech or Iowa State and Baylor. The fans couldn't decide either, Fitz. It was 50-50. Obviously, Iowa State won.
Yeah, it was impressive. This week's question is, how many Big 12 teams will make it to the second weekend? Ooh. So win two games here coming up this following weekend. The answer A is 7-8. That would be incredible. B, 4-6. C, 1-3. D, for disappointment. No one gets out of the first weekend. Wow.
All right, well, vote on our Twitter page at The Drive 13, and that will do it for this half of the two-minute drill. We'll be right back with more on KU and K-State here on The Drive.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
Welcome back as we continue our weekly two-minute drill. This segment of the two-minute drill is sponsored by Copeland Insurance Agency, part of your community for more than 60 years. Well, Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson didn't play in the Big 12 tournament. Michael, will they be available to play in the NCAA tournament?
You know, Fitz, as I've learned covering Kansas, that, and especially with NCAA tournament injuries, you can't really say they're going to play until you see them warming up pregame. But right now, it seems like things are trending in the right direction. We met with Bill Self earlier today and discussed everything going on with, you know, the program and the injuries. And Self said that Hunter Dickinson has been able to do some physical work over the last couple of days. The expectation is that he will do some physical contact practice when the team reconvenes on Monday to start prepping for Samford. Now, that's obviously a huge positive step, and it's the timeline that Bill Self laid out in the middle of last week when he said the hope was that Monday would be the day contact would start, and then Dickinson could go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before the game on Thursday. If KU played Thursday, they do. So Dickinson at least seems like he's training the right direction. The question is, Fitz, how effective can he be with a shoulder that was out of its socket, you know, a little over a week ago? Like, that's pretty tough to ask for a skilled big man. No, it's not his shooting hand, but if you watch Hunter Dickinson, he uses both of his hands above his head and above his shoulder. How will his range of motion be? I don't know. So that's one of the things to watch out for here when the open practice happens in Salt Lake City later this week and just heading into the game. As for Kevin McCullough, he did not do a practice over the weekend, but the expectation is, or the hope is, that he will be able to get a full contact practice in before the game. Now, McCullough's situation is a little bit different, where I think everybody kind of knows what he's going to be when he plays. It's just a question of mitigating any sort of risk that he could re-aggravate that bone bruise in his knee. He decided he wanted to play against Houston. Obviously, in the first half, felt that was not the right decision, so they pulled him. Now, the question is, in the NCAA tournament, can you pull yourself from a game? Probably not. So it's a question of, hey, if you go into this game, you know you're going to want to play for the 35 minutes you're going to be out there. Obviously, the long timeouts will help KU, but for right now, It looks like Dickinson and McCullough should be available to play. Can't give you any sort of guarantees at this point, but that's the way things are trending right now.
Setting them down for the Big 12 tournament had no effect on their seeding. It was a smart move.
Nope, exactly. Super smart move. Well, Kansas State didn't make the NCAA tournament field and then had to wait on the NIT selection show to see if the Wildcats would get to keep playing. It's official now. The Wildcats will be traveling to take on Iowa. Fitz, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, there's an NIT selection show. I didn't know that. I thought they just sent out an email. So we watched it here on the set as we're recording to find out where K-State plays. They do not play at home in the first round. They go to Iowa. We suspected that because the NIT is granting home courts to the top two teams from each conference of the Power Six. And those were, as we thought they'd be, Cincinnati and UCF based on the net ratings. Interesting enough, Oklahoma sat this one out. They thought they were getting in the tournament. They just, that Oklahoma basketball tradition is so big, they're just not good enough. The NIT's not good enough for them, right? Okay, let's talk about K-State. This is an opportunity for K-State. Now, the question becomes, who will play? They're pretty beaten up, too, and they got some guys that might be just kind of done. Is it possible the NIT for some of these programs turns into what bowl games have become? Does Kansas State end up playing a roster mostly of their young guys and with some of the older ones that would decide to stick around? We're going to find out. But this is at least a somewhat nearby matchup for Kansas State going to Iowa City. And we'll see. We'll get into breaking down that at Go Power Cat later in the week because I'm going to be honest, I don't know much about Iowa basketball, and I'm actually proud of that. I watched Iowa play football. Why would I want to watch basketball? So it's intriguing to me that K-State probably wasn't anywhere close to the bracket. We'll get to that a little bit, and that they didn't even get a home game in the NIT. So under the lower half of that bracket, Iowa, I believe, was the third seed in that grouping. Along with some pretty cool teams. They're going to be in the Indiana State bracket. It's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Is that right? Is that who they had? But anyhow, it's going to be entertaining in its own special way, the NIT, the tournament that teams opt out of for reasons I don't understand.
Well, in K-State has NIT legend Tyler Perry to lead them to victory.
He's got the ring, and now he wants one for the other hand.
Ooh.
Is that how the NIT works? Now we step out of bounds. Out of Bounds is brought to you by Darris Corner Market. We love local, and we are local for you.
All right. Let's look at each bracket and give our picks from each region to make it to the Final Four in Phoenix. Let's start with the East region. I got to pull up my bracket here, Fitz.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at it. Oh, it's UConn. Never mind. Chalk.
Yeah.
I'll take UConn.
I think Iowa State was worthy of being on a one line, and
totally.
Here they are on a two line. In the East with UConn, I think UConn, as I said earlier in the show, I think it's going to be utter chaos. One thing I feel good about is UConn will be advancing out of the East.
Yeah, I agree. Well, hey, let's get to the West here. This one's going to be chaos. North Carolina is the one seed. Arizona is the two seed. And a whole lot of hodgepodge in between. I'm picking Alabama. They've got a great offense that can get hot at any time. So I will take the Crimson Tide, led by Nate Oates, who has a new contract, to make it to the Final Four.
I hate this bracket.
It's terrible.
I'm not picking North Carolina. Iowa State should have been on that line. I will die on that hill. It's probably not a hill. It's a bracket.
Who are you picking?
But I'm going to go with Arizona.
All right. Let's get to the South region here. This is Houston's region, so I will just say Houston. I think this is pretty chalk.
I think Iowa State did Houston a favor. I really do. That kind of butt-whooping there on the national stage of the Big 12 Championship, I got Houston. I'm taking Houston all the way. I think they're that good.
And then the Midwest. This is the one that Kansas is in. The Purdue is the number one seed. Tennessee is the number two seed. Dalton Connect is insanely good. Rick Barnes chokes in March. He will not choke this March. I will take Tennessee as the two seed going to the Final Four.
I have no idea what's going to happen in this bracket, so I went with Creighton. And I have no idea why I'm going with Creighton. I just like Blue Jays. They're pretty.
Aw.
It's very scientific. Now, let's hear from our fans. Our fan question is sponsored by MetLark. Retirement awaits in Manhattan, where you can live your way every day. Here's our fan question this week.
All right. Did Kansas State have a legitimate shot at making the field of 68 if the Wildcats had won one more game in Kansas City? This is from Gene in Wamego.
It's Wamego. sorry, Wamego. I'm in that mood. Hey, no. In hindsight, no. They didn't. I think if they'd beaten Iowa State, they maybe would not have been in. Maybe they would have gotten to Dayton. There were so many upsets in other games. Four or five bids were stolen. It bumped Oklahoma out, and I think it would have prevented K-State. I think they had to win actually three in Kansas City, which would have been hard to do.
Yeah. Remember to ask us your questions on our Facebook page and on Twitter at The Drive 13. When we return, we'll look at our predictions here on The Drive.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
It is time to head down the home stretch of this week's show. Now let's take a look at our predictions. Predictions are brought to you by Kites, meeting your friends at Kites since 1954. Remember to make your weekly predictions on our Twitter page at TheDrive13. Here are last week's results.
Oof.
Michael, you got anything to say for yourself, young man?
I'm so bad at this. Oh my gosh.
Let me give you a little advice. Just pick the same picks as me.
Ooh, okay.
You won't close the gap, but will you even have a chance? Let's get to this week's picks. We're going to start with KU and Samford. KU's an 8.5-point favorite. I don't like this matchup from KU for KU. I think Samford covers. I think KU advances, but I think they keep it under 8.
I'll follow you, Fitz. I'll take Samford to cover.
Okay.
Next up is TCU versus Utah State. This is a really fascinating matchup here. It's a pick 'em. I'm going to go Big 12 homerism here. I'll take TCU. Who are you taking, Fitz?
TCU's hard to figure out, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I'll take them. I'll take TCU. I think TCU could be really dangerous, or they could lose their first game. Mm. That's how they've been. Our last game of the week is Texas Tech against NC State. Of course, NC State won the ACC tournament, one of those bid stealers. We've got Tech as a 2.5-point favorite. I love Tech. I think Tech's going to roll.
Yeah, I do too. I think their defense will really ramp up in the tournament. It seems very much built for the NCAA tournament, so I'll be going with Tech as well.
Yep, I think Big 12 is going to do just fine in the tournament, but make your picks on our Twitter page at TheDrive13. Michael's going to get those up nice and early. He's going to do it. I've got faith in him. Now it's time for our On the Clock segment. On the Clock, sponsored by Carpet One. Buy local for a strong local community. And we start off with Michael Swain of Fog.net.
You know, Fitz, as I was typing up my story today to get ready for the bracket reveal, it hit me that Kansas has been so stupidly consistent under Bill Self. They've not been under a 4 seed in over 20 years. Think about that, Fitz. That Kansas has not even missed the NCAA tournament in even longer. The trajectory of Kansas fluctuates year to year with the team, but the consistent level that Kansas is able to sustain of basically being a top 15 team every single year is pretty insane when you think about it. So although I think Kansas fans are looking at this team and saying, man, it's not been a great season, things haven't necessarily gone our way, it's kind of crazy to think that a really down year for this Kansas program is a 4 seed. And we've seen them happen before, obviously 2019. You go back a little bit further, these tournaments don't always work out super well for KU. But I think just remembering the big picture that, hey, this level of consistency is pretty insane. It's pretty impressive from Bill Self.
It really is. It's kind of amazing. And they're bad year, they're a 4 seed. Hey, look, the NIT isn't very important. Let's just be honest. It is what it is. Tyler Perry in North Texas won it last year. Now he has an opportunity to do it at Kansas State. Will this team be invested? Because that's my question about this Wildcat team all season long. They would get invested, and then they'd fall down. They just didn't quite close the deal every time they were asked to do so. They lose at Cincinnati when they had an opportunity to win 3 straight and get a road win. They lose to Iowa State, which was amazing, in Kansas City when they had an opportunity to advance to the bracket and prove something more. They just haven't gotten their work done throughout the season. So are they capable of winning 4 in a row and winning this thing? I don't think so, but I'd be excited to see what they look like against an Iowa team, that comes in with an 18-14 record against a Kansas State team that's 19-14. Based on that, even though Iowa's at home, I'll take the Big 12 team. But we'll see. We'll have complete breakdowns at GoPowerCat.com. And Michael, it's football season. It feels like football season at KU.
It's crazy. Spring practice starts this week. Can't wait.
That's it for this week's edition. We'll see you next week right here.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.